Hello, welcome to the teller on a cold November night in 2016. It's cold up north. It's been a little delay since the last one. Two reasons really. Partly I've been very overworked. I've had so much on, I've been completely overloaded. Secondly, I've been working on a new book. It's going to be quite an exciting one. I think I'm really looking forward to getting my teeth into it. And also, I've been wondering about which story to do next. I've settled today on a Chaucerian tale, well, my own version of a Chaucerian tale. And because I love medieval tales, I just love medieval stories. Any of you who've come across my book on Harold Harefoot will be aware of the fact that I tend to write in a very chatty sort of style. My history is very narrative, story-based. I just can't help it. It's funny, when I looked at the Amazon reviews the other day, I was rather flattered actually. I've had 6 reviews for my little book. I mean, when you think about it, some really big, well-selling books, I hardly get any reviews at all. So to get 6 for my little affair, I was really quite pleased. And it's always interesting when people write reviews, though, isn't it? That they either give it 5 stars or they give it 1, or they give something 1 star. And probably because to be bothered to write a review, you either have to really, really like something or really not like it. And I found the review. What did I get? I think I've had 6 reviews. I've had 4 5-star reviews. Thank you very much to anybody who gave me a nice review. Very, very kind of you. My friend for life, obviously. I had a 4-star review from somebody in America. Thank you so much. And then somebody absolutely hated it and gave it a 1-star review. And really ripped into me, telling me I should hang my head in shame. And it was an appalling waste of time. And I thought, well, it made me laugh, actually. I thought, well, at least you feel something about it, even if it's absolutely hating it. I do hope with the podcasts, if you listen to it, that I don't quite get that strong an opinion. Although I guess if you really, really hate what I do, you can always turn me off, can't you, and not download anymore. But here we go. Chaucer's tale, and it won't take me very long. I think this will be one of the shorter ones. Here we go indeed, although I should just point out that I think it's based loosely on bits and bobs from Chaucer, but I have an awful recollection that part of this story, at least, I've stolen from somewhere else. It's a bit of a hodgepodge, shall we say, of different bits and pieces with a little bits of me in there as well. Anyway, here we go. There was a knight in the court of an old medieval queen somewhere in Europe. She's got a lovely palace, and the knight himself is a well-respected young man with lands and property, and he often comes to the court. However, I'm afraid to say that one night he gets terribly drunk at a court party. Too much to eat, perhaps. Too much to drink. And he disgraces himself quite appallingly and ends up being dragged in front of the queen the next day, accused by a young lady of the court of an attack upon her. I know I have children listening sometimes to my stories, and so I won't say the nature of the crime. But it was unpleasant. Not pleasant at all. And our sympathy for him, I think, at this juncture is rapidly removed. The Queen looks at him. And she says, "Now what on earth has happened to you? Why did you do this? You've got a spotless reputation. You've done a lot of work for us. Good work. But you have underdone it all by this one terrible deed." And the queen, She considers, and she says, right. She said, now then. I don't know if I should put you to death. But she said, I don't really want to do that. So she said, what I'm prepared to do is give you a chance. She said, I am prepared to banish you for 1 year when you must never darken, ever, the clouds that hang on the sky above my palace. If you should come near my land within the next year, then you will forfeit your life for this crime. But at the end of the year, you may come back and answer a question. If you get the question correct, you get your lands and property back and are admitted again to my presence with all things forgiven and forgotten. But if the question is not answered correctly, then I'm afraid you will hang on the first tree. I see, said the knight, dropping his head. And what is the question that I have to answer? The question you have to answer, said the queen, is what is it that women desire beyond all things? The knight went off, and he got on his horse, and sadly he rode out of the kingdom on his quest to find the answer. Now he went and he asked every single young woman or older woman that he could find. Please tell me, he would say, what is it that women desire beyond anything else? And every single person that he asked delivered a different answer. Oh, one would say, what we desire is money. Another one would say, we desire to be princesses. Another one would say, we desire the perfect husband. A wonderful home. Gorgeous children, would say another. The success of my children, would say another. Beauty, another. Brains, another. For every different woman, there was a different answer. Oh my goodness, at the end of the year, the knight's head was spinning. He was no further forward in answering the question. He was nearing again the kingdom where he had been banished. It was his last night of banishment. The next day, he should be due to face the queen again. He arrived at a small hovel just on the outskirts of the kingdom. In it, I have to say, was a witch, an elderly witch, with a pot. She heard the knight draw up outside, and she came to the door, a small, raggedy old woman with a black cape, a long, somewhat pointed nose, and teeth somewhat decayed. Her fingers were long and thin, her nails curled and pointed. And the knight nodded towards her. I wonder, said he, if you could find me a bed for the night. Huh, she said. It's possible for a good-looking young man such as yourself. It's possible. But she said, if I'm to find you a bed for the night, then you can find me a meal. Well, I would, said the knight, but unfortunately, he said, I'm out of money and I'm not carrying a lot of food. And tomorrow could actually be my last day.
Hmm, said the witch. But you have a horse.
My horse, said the knight.
Yes, said he, but...
If you let me eat your horse, said the witch,
then you can have a bed for the night. And maybe a little bit of help along the way.
Help, said the knight.
Yes, said the witch,
because the witch could tell he was troubled and had enough about her to know that he needed something as well.
If you come in and sit with me, she said, and tell me what troubles you, I may well be able to help, but only on a full stomach.
Very well, said the knight. You may have my horse. Dear old horse, you've served me well.
Ha! Said the witch, and she slit the horse's throat. And the knight sat and miserably watched as she carved up the horse and put it in a pot.
Care for some? She said.
No, said the knight. There's no way that I could eat my own horse.
Then go hungry, then, said the witch.
And the knight watched as she devoured and pulled the meat and ate it down, with bits of meat and gristle hanging off what were left of her teeth, and he felt disgusted.
Now tell me, she said, pointing a long finger towards him.
Now, she said, tell me, what it is that troubles you.
And the knight said, he said,
what troubles me, he said, is the fact that I have been banished from the kingdom for an assault on a young lady, and the queen gave me 1 year to find the answer to a question. And the question that I must find an answer to is, what is it that women desire beyond anything else? And if I can answer that, I live and get my lands back.
Ah, said the witch. Well, she said, you've been kind to me. You've fed me tonight.
So she said, I'll do you
a favour,
although a favour needs a favour in return. She said, I'll come with you tomorrow. And she said, I will sit near the palace, but not come in. And she said, you will go in and give the answer to the question to the queen. And she said, it will be the correct answer. And you will live and prosper. But you will then come out of the palace. You will see me. And you will marry me that afternoon.
Marry you? Said the knight.
Yes, said the witch.
Well, the alternative is
your death.
Yes, that is true,
said the knight. And are you sure you have the correct answer?
I am,
said the witch. Very well, said the soldier. In that case, he said, I suppose you have a deal. You have my word as a knight upon it.
That will suffice, said the witch.
And so it was, that the soldier slept, not exactly peacefully, because he was haunted by visions of his horse. But let us say he slept. And the next morning he and the witch walked a little while, got a ride at the back of a peasant's cart for a while, and then walked some more until they were standing at the palace. And the witch, she sat down on the grass, resting her old bones, and nodded towards the knight. "You have the answer," she said. "Now go and tell it." And so the knight went into the palace, where he found the queen and the court. "Has it been a year?" said the queen.
"It has, ma'am," said the members of the court.
And she looked at the knight and she said, "Then in that case, you have an answer for me. What is it that women desire beyond everything else?" And the knight, swallowing once, looked up and he said, "Ma'am," he said, "women desire dominion over their men. They desire control over their men more than anything else." And the queen looked. Could she deny it? She could not. And all the women of the court, who might have said something else, when they heard this answer, silently agreed. "I don't know where you got that answer from," said the queen, "but whoever gave you it was extremely wise. It's true. We do. You may go. You are forgiven. Your lands are back as your own again, and you are welcome again in my court." "Thank you, ma'am," he said. And the knight, with, I have to say, much shock from the others around him, walked out, a free and wealthy man again. There the old witch was sitting, and she looked up at him, and he nodded. And he took her hand and walked her immediately to the chapel, where the nearest priest married them that very afternoon. That night, in the bedchamber, the knight in terror sat, and the witch walked in, raggedy, old, wrinkled, the skin almost seemingly falling off her. And she smiled at him in a slightly twisted way. And she said, "Credit where credit is due." She said, "You were a man of your word." And she said, "You have been twice." "So," she said, "I am about to give you something that you probably want." She said, "I can walk out of this room and come back in again as a beautiful young lady that would match all of your desires. But if you choose this, I will never be loyal, I will never be true, and I will never be holy with you." "Or," she said, "you keep me as I am, but I will be honest, loyal, and work tirelessly in your interests from this moment on. Now, which is it to be?" The knight stopped and thought, and he said, "I will take the latter. I will take you as you are." A good choice, said the witch. And she turned and walked out, to return as a stunningly beautiful young woman, who knelt next to her husband and kissed him. And she said, because you made the right choice, because you took me as I am, and because you gave me control, then she said, it is my pleasure to give that control back to you, and I will be the person that you want me to be. And I would have to say that on the whole, the knight and his wife lived generally happily ever after, because she was loyal and true, and as beautiful as you could hope. But somewhere in the back of the knight's mind was always the thoughts of the witch, always the thoughts of the old lady that he knew her to be, and always the memory of her eating his horse. So he was never entirely at peace, and maybe that is his punishment for what he did at the start. And there we are. Whoa. Actually, I like that story, you know. I haven't done that one for some time. And it's a real hodgepodge, but I kind of liked it. You will get another story from me before Christmas. I will do another one before Christmas. Remember, not the 5th of November, but remember, if you enjoy my podcast, it's lovely having you on board. It's great having you as a listener. Do recommend me to somebody else. If you have a moment, put up a review on iTunes. Reviews on iTunes boost me up the rankings, and they're always nice to have. So thank you so much for your company. Have a really enjoyable month or so until I speak to you again. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.